I'll call this meeting to order. First thing we will do is take roll call, make sure everybody's present. We have a quorum?
Yep,
great. Next, I'll take approval of the minutes. Representative Wazlowick, have you had a chance to take a look at the minutes?
I have not.
Have not?
Let me just look at them real quick.
Okay.
Look good to me. I will move the minutes.
Thank you very much. We'll move the minutes from April 2nd. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? All right. Motion prevails.
Chair Rand?
Yes.
I have an agricultural student who is shadowing me today that I would like to introduce, if that's possible.
Very good. Go ahead.
I would like to introduce Grace Taylor, who is a student in agriculture at the University of Minnesota. She studies animal science and agricultural communications, and she's shadowing me today in all of my committees. I'm excited for the robust conversation that she will see today in committee, and so I ask all of you to welcome her. Thank you.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Before we get started today, I just want to thank everybody for attending, and thanks for everybody's attendance over the last month. We took over an hour of testimony on Tuesday, and thanks for the comments that everybody was able to give. We have the room for 2 hours today until noon, and so just keep your comments concise and short as possible, please, so we can get everything done by noon. And to that, Chair Poppy, House File 2200, would you, last meeting was laid over. I'll bring the House File back before the division. And move the DE4 amendment?
Yes, I'd like to move the DE4 amendment.
Okay. You also have an author's amendment?
Yep, and then we'll be able to go through the other amendments as we go along. But the first one is the A21. I'm hoping that in the packet they're kind of in the order, but if not, you might have to search. So it'll be different numbers, but the A21 is, this is an author's amendment, some technical changes, so I can just describe it for people. As Mr. Sullivan was going through the bill, we discovered that the number was 22 instead of 23 when it was referring to a section, so we need to correct that. We used old language on the kind of extension. They are educators, no longer agents, so we wanted to make that change. We are inserting American Indian or Alaskan Native when we're talking about the people, the outreach to people, so that communities of color and then plus American Indian or Alaskan Native. And then in the last part we were talking about with the Beginning Farmer Initiative, that would also be conversing with the Commissioner of Labor and Industry. So we'd have both the Economic and Development Deed Commissioner and the Labor and Industry Commissioner as being people that the Commissioner of Ag would consult with as they're developing or looking at a beginning farmer kind of internship program. So that's what this is, and I'd appreciate your support.
Okay. Any discussion on the A21 amendment? All right, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. All right, the amendment, A21 amendment is adopted. We will take amendments by article and start with Article 1. Looks like we will generally work our way through the bill, and any groups of amendments that are similar topics will group together. Since the author's amendment deals with the beginning farmer study, we'll begin with the A4. And Representative Hamilton, would you move your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment, what this does is after veterans, it simply inserts persons with disabilities. So it include that in as far as the individuals that would be a part of being able to sustain those grants. And I ask for your support.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
I just want to say I would accept that amendment. I think it's a great amendment, so I appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sorry, Madam Chair. All those in favor say aye. Sorry.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. All right. A4 amendment is adopted. Next, we have A2 or A20 amendment, and that would be Representative Keel of the Turf Council. Representative Keel, would you like to offer one of those amendments and then discuss it?
Yes, oops, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the bill we heard from Representative Fabian that supports the Minnesota CERT Turf Seed Council, and is funding. We have two. Oh, thank you. A2 takes it from MDA administrative dollars, and that's where it was originally. And then the A20 would take it from the Agri, reducing Agri accordingly. So,
Representative Keel, which one would you like to offer, since they're so similar?
Mr. Chair, the A2.
A2 amendment? Okay. Any discussion on the A2 amendment? Madam Chair, do you have a comment on this one?
Thank you. Yes, I do. And I appreciate, I think we would like to be able to support the Turf Council and be able to put that in on either the A2 or the A20. I'm not sure that this is, I guess I would say to not support these at this time because it's taking money. The one takes the money from Agri and actually reduces the Agri fund, and this one just... we don't have a funding source on the A2, I don't think. And so the A20 actually reduces Agri. And I've spoken to Mr. Cleven, there he is, I see him, about this. We do want to figure out something. Maybe we'll be able to do something on the floor because I think we just need to find the right location, and I was thinking it was just going to be within the Agri fund that we would be able to put in some language that would take it out of there, but having a separate rider maybe is not exactly what we do right now because, so anyway, that's what I'm stating about that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, if we could ask nonpartisan staff to remind us as far as where this language was located in previous years. I believe it did come from MDA's administrative dollars in previous years. And so I guess my question would be, are those dollars still available in that account?
Mr. Savory, go ahead.
Chair and members, to my memory, this was a pass-through grant in the administrative section of the bill, and it was set to for one-time funding per the prior Ag Omnibus bill. So that appropriation no longer has a base.
Okay. Representative Hanson.
Well, Mr. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if there's someone from the department that could comment on this also, because I think it's important that we do fund this, the Turf Seed Council, and like I said, we've funded it previously, and I know the chair said that it's something I believe that we could all support. It's where these dollars could come from. I just want to know if the department could give us any direction on that.
Okay. I'm looking at the Department of Agriculture folks that are here today. It looks like we might get Commissioner Peterson to speak on this. So, Commissioner, please state your name and go for it.
Mr. Chair, members, Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Agriculture. On the A2 amendment, we don't have, it was a pass through, and so we would have to cut something. We would have to, find, I'm not sure what that would be or anything, so that could be an issue for us. And so we also are committed to, the importance of the Turf Grass Council and working on that as we get into, as we move down the line, whether it's conference committee or the floor or wherever. So, but we would have to cut something to fill that, and I'm not sure what that would be at this time.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I ask then of the Commissioner to address the A20 and where he would be with that? Mr. Commissioner, where would you be at with that?
Mr.
Chair and Representative Keel, in general, we have opposed further earmarking of Agri, and so... But we would be willing to try to work within that to see how that might work. And so at this time, I think we would oppose it, but we're open to trying to work into this as we try to, you know, put into, like, where it might fit in general. But I would say that's where we would be at this time. So, but again, we're willing to work on it, but on how this language might work going forward. So,
Representative Kiel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Peterson. Then I'll just withdraw the 820 at this moment, and then let's discuss that a little more.
And I just want to say thank you, Representative Kiel. I think we are all committed to trying to figure out how to solve it, and I just apologize that maybe we didn't fully communicate ahead of time. And when I saw the amendments, I did talk to Mr. Cleven and talk to Commissioner Peterson. Just hopefully we'll figure something out. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So, Representative Kiel, you moved the 8-2 amendment. I didn't know you want to take the 8-20 or withdraw that one, but how about the 8-2?
I would like to withdraw the 8-2 also.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. After that, we've got two that deal with Ag Centers of Excellence. So, Representative Poston, 85 and 87 amendments. Would you like to move one or both of those, and please explain?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A5 and the A7.
Okay. We'll do the 5 first, so go ahead and speak to that.
Speak to the A5 first. The A5 basically is House File 2690, which we presented a week ago. The only change is that the appropriation would come from Agri and go to the Minnesota Ag Schools of Excellence in the Minnesota state system to continue their work with rural mental health, farm transition work that they're doing, and farm business management, which I think right now we're in a little bit of a crisis, and that money is much needed.
Okay. Representative Poston, Madam Chair, would you like to respond to the A5 amendment first?
And I apologize to Representative Poston. We didn't get a chance to actually connect on this, and I know he tried a couple of times. I just wasn't able to talk to him about it. But I would speak in opposition to this just because, again, we're taking money and rerouting it. And I have stated previously I think it's important for higher ed to pay for higher ed initiatives, and the more we continue to take on some of those things, the more they seem to come to us. And the ag budget is a pretty small budget. And I just want to say I fully appreciate that Representative Hamilton was able to get the AGREET funds. I think, you know, he held firm on a position and continued to work toward that and to get those dollars, and that was really important to be able to do. And I appreciate that, and I think it's okay that those come through ag and go to higher ed and go to the University of Minnesota, but to keep doing that kind of thing, I don't think is the right thing for us to be doing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and actually this is to Chair Poppe. I actually agree with your statement that you just said. Now, the fundamental problem is that the University of Minnesota doesn't agree with that statement that you just said. And I don't know if anyone from the U of M is down here. I know we aren't taking testimony, so I can't ask for that. So I'm just going to conjecture, okay? I certainly hope that the University of Minnesota is talking with you, because my experience with the University of Minnesota and CFANS and that group, the head of CFANS.
Dr. Bork.
Dr. Bork. He's been fantastic, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think all of us can agree with that. I think this goes beyond him. I think it's the priorities of the University of Minnesota, what I've experienced in my private business and here at the legislature, and now my fifth year that I'm here, is that the University of Minnesota, which is our land-grant institution, and a land-grant institution of an ag state, continually put CFANS down low in their priorities. I have a problem with that. And so if it's maybe a public statement right now, my angst at that, I totally respect what you're saying, Madam Chair. And this is what we've been drawn to, trying to pull from other places just to take care of what CFANS needs to do from other pockets of money. So I certainly hope the University of Minnesota, if you're either here or if you're listening, that you step up and do the right thing for CFANS and fund these programs that are important to the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Poston, do you have a comment?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair, I hope that this is an issue that we can continue to work on. I do think the same as Tim Miller or Representative Miller. I agree with you about higher education. It's the same thing at Minnesota State. And, in fact, I've had an opportunity to talk to the president of Central Lakes College, and she agrees that it should be education-funded, but it's not. So I hope we can continue to work on this. And with that, I would like to ask for a roll call on this amendment, please.
Okay, a roll call has been asked for. Is there any other comments, any other discussion?
So, Mr. Chair, I just want to, again, encourage a no vote on this. I know how important this issue is to Representative Poston and to all of us. You know, we want to make sure that the centers of excellence, the ag centers, which one is in the northern part of the state, one's in the southern part of the state, continue to receive funding. I know that in higher education, that a couple of us are on that committee, we heard from the workforce development person from Minn State yesterday, and she was mentioning that they had at one point 4 centers of excellence, and then they increased that to 8. And when they did that, that didn't come with extra money for those centers. And that's unfortunate because they're kind of spreading things a little bit too thin. And then, you know, when you start doing that, some issues might be lost. And I fully appreciate Representative Poston's position on this, but I would ask for a no vote.
Okay. Would you like to call the roll, please?
Chair Poppe?
No.
Vice Chair Brand?
No.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Eklund?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Keel? Representative Cleborne?
No.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lewick?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Poston?
Yes.
Representative Tabke?
No.
Representative Vang?
No.
Representative Wasilowick?
No.
Okay. 5 ayes and 9 nays. The motion does not prevail. Representative Poston to the A7 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A7 amendment comes from House File 2573 that Representative Hansen presented to us a week or so back, and it was to put a person in the Department of Agriculture to help with new farmer recruiting and new farmer development, and I think it's a great idea. However, I think that position sits better within ag-centric or within the Minnesota State Ag System. In fact, I had a conversation with Representative Hansen and Keith Olander, and I think it was a good conversation, and I think it fits there very well. So I would ask to appropriate this $150,000 a year for this position and have it come out of Agri to fund it. And, Mr. Chair, I would ask for a roll call on this also, please.
Okay, Representative Poston has requested a roll call. Chair Poppe, to your bill and to the amendment.
Thank you again for another amendment. Representative Poston, again, I would ask for a no vote. Just a couple of things, I think. I know that when Mr. Olander was here, he was talking about kind of the wraparound approach to try to reach out to people and the farmers who are in the Farm Business Management Program and connected. And I work as a college counselor myself, so I've worked with our Farm Business Management instructors, and I kind of understand. I know they're kind of sometimes off campus a lot, and so they don't always know the resources that they have within the college. And I would just encourage them to actually know who those people are within the college, because within the college system, there are faculty who are counselors, there are advisors, I know at our college, we have a couple of people who do this kind of work that are doing the minority outreach, and making connections with students. So I'm going to ask for a no vote. I think once they start engaging with the campus perhaps a little bit more, they might know that there are some resources within the campus or college setting that they could utilize a little bit more to their liking.
Okay. Further discussion on the A7 amendment? Seeing none, we'll call the roll.
Chair Poppe?
No.
Vice Chair Brand?
No.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Eklund?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Keel? Representative Cleaborn?
No.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lueck?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Poston?
Yes.
Representative Tabke?
No.
Representative Vang?
No.
Representative Wozlewick?
No.
All right, 5 ayes and 9 nays. The A7 amendment does not prevail. Next, we have 3 amendments dealing with community solar garden issues. We'll move we'll discuss the A3 amendment first. That's Representative Hamilton. Go ahead and discuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this does is that this keeps the $50,000 one-time appropriation, but it does delete the language that specifies what the center must be spending those dollars on. I think that's a slippery and dangerous slope to be heading down. The center is what they end up doing is they work with individuals all across the state, and they get surveys as far as what they should be researching, and it is not influenced by us here at the legislature, and I just once again think that's a dangerous direction to head, where not only are we telling them what to be researching, but we're also leading them down towards the results that we would like to see in those research findings. And so again, I think that's a dangerous place to go, and so I ask for the support on this amendment. Thank you.
Discussion on the A3 amendment. Chair Poppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I understand that the center does do a number of research projects, and they are the Research and Policy Development Center, so I think it's appropriate for them to consider some additional ways of studying things that are important to people in rural Minnesota, and this is one of those areas as we look for additional funding resources for farmers and people who live on the land throughout Minnesota, so I'm going to ask for a no vote on this.
Any further discussion, Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess if there's anybody here from the center, I'd like to hear from them, number one, if they support this language, and number two, does this put them in jeopardy in any way, shape, or form? If when I say jeopardy, it, as far as their are they now becoming even a lobbying firm or a lobbying entity for one party or the other? I would have a lot of questions around that, and would their nonprofit tax status also be in jeopardy if we have one party or the other that's mandating what they're going to be researching? So I'd like to hear from the center.
So at this time, what I'd like to do is actually call on Colby Sullivan from Nonpartisan Research. I know there's been some discussion in the background about this between myself and him, so go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, I was asked specifically if there was an irreconcilable conflict between the report requirement for the center in this bill and the center's general statutory duties as established in Minnesota statutes. And simply as a statutory matter, I didn't see an irreconcilable conflict. The questions Representative Hamilton has asked are a bit different about nonprofit tax status or about whether it's appropriate or not. But I didn't find from a statutory standpoint that there was a conflict between the requirement, the specific requirement to do the report, and the duties of the center as established in statute.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my fear, if the legislature starts mandating what they're going to be researching, then it can become the Center for Republican Policy and Development or the Center for Democratic Policy and Development. Again, I fear that that's going to take the center in the wrong direction, so I speak strongly in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A lot of paperwork to dig through here, but as I recall, I couldn't find the exact wording, but as I recall, this part of the bill called for the study to be done, but also to make recommendations back to the legislature. And that's where I think that this would cross the line, to have the center actually make recommendations, which does get into a partisan issue here, partisan area of this. So I would support the amendment by Representative Hamilton, mainly because it also calls for the center to make recommendations back to the legislature.
Representative Anderson, I believe you're talking about Section 23 on page 34 of the last iteration. It was like 34.26, talking about a policy recommendations to the legislature. And so this kind of deals with my bill 1608 that I was working on here in the legislature. I personally feel confident that this matter is something that isn't asking them to do something that's not going to A, affect or improve the conversation when it comes to requirements about solar community gardens. And at this point, I do not support that also. I do believe that we should allow the Center for Rural Policy and Development to go forward with that research as a part of their duties. And I don't think we're asking to from them.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can we hear from the center?
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody from the Center for Rural Policy and Development here today that would wish to comment? Unfortunately, there's nobody here.
That's sad, Mr. Chairman. It's really sad that we're not taking their input on this.
So any further discussion on the A3 amendment? All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay. The amendment does not pass. 819-0363, so that's Representative Miller's amendment on community solar gardens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for this time to discuss this amendment. I really hope people can support this, especially with the conversation that we had with the last amendment. Not exactly sure why this is, first of all, in the Ag Committee, other than the fact that it's called Solar Gardens. I think this discussion needs to be in other places, but it is here, so we need to discuss it. I believe that if we're going to be doing a study, we need to have a complete study, not only as to the financial benefits, but also the costs, and not only financial costs, but the broader costs involved. I don't even know if my list is complete, but because we make a list, I had to add the things that I thought were important. And I will say that if the contiguous, I think it's going through environment right now, if there's, you know, you don't have to have contiguous counties or within the county subscribers. My district has a lot of these solar gardens, and they're going to be popping up all over out there. And if I could, if you'd give me a little bit of grace here, I want to spend like a minute just explaining what I see this as. I wrote down real quick, when you have a solar garden, here's the players. You have the landowner. Here's what you need to be able to do this. You have the landowner, the subscriber, you need Xcel Energy, you need a ratepayer, and you need the company who installs. Now, I get the dynamic. The landowner out by us is getting $1,200 to $1,400 an acre for a 25-year contract. And I can tell you on Lagland, that's not a bad dollar to be bringing in. The subscriber, I had a farmer that came up to me last week and said, so I had someone come to my door and said, hey, you can save 2% on your rate if you just sign here. Why would he not do that? And I said, how much are you going to save? He goes, probably about $800. He goes, $800 is $800. So he signed up. So he saved that. And they get Xcel. Well, they're required to buy this energy. Now, how do they buy it and how is it paid for? It gets passed on to the ratepayer. And I told this landowner, I said, when you get your 2% discount, I said, you know who's paying for that 2% discount? He goes, who? I go, you are. Now, I'm sure he's not paying all of his 2%, but as we expand this, this number becomes untenable. You have the same people that are paying for it that are also receiving those benefits. And then there's the company who installs this. And, Mr. Chair, I look at this 25 years from now when these contracts are ending up. I can tell you I have one solar garden just outside my district that's been there for a couple of years in between the chain link fence and the weeds, which we're calling pollinator gardens but are weeds, that are around this, it's unkept. After 2 years, it looks like blight. I jokingly told someone yesterday that this looks like the sort of property that in urban agriculture they'd want to go in and plant a garden. This is what it's going to look like out in my district. So if we're going to talk about financial benefits of solar gardens out in my district, I think we need to talk about the cost as well. So I don't think that anything on my list here is an unreasonable list. If we're going to be doing a study, let's go ahead and do it to completion. I would welcome even other things that are going to be done with this. So I ask for everyone's support, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any further discussion on the A19-0363 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I would ask that people vote no on this amendment.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the A19-0363 amendment, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. Nay.
No.
The motion does not carry. The next is the A19 amendment. Representative Anderson, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment just adds one addition to the number of things that the center is supposed to do their study on. And what this does simply is add one more component, that the gardens be studied for their impact on adjacent property values. I talked to Assessor back home, and in my home county, there are now 11 of these in the county. And most of these are under the 1 megawatt size limit, which means they are not assessed to be commercial property. They remained as ag or whatever they were previously. And they haven't been around long enough to determine what it does to adjacent property values. But it's my suspicion that if looking out my window, I have a nice view of a lake or whatever, and then the adjacent property becomes a solar garden, that the value of my property may diminish because of that. So all this does is add this additional component that the value of property values on adjacent properties be included, Mr. Chair.
Okay, discussion to the A19 amendment, Chair Poppe.
Thank you. I think this is an okay amendment, and we can add that language.
Any further discussion on the A19 amendment? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay. A19 amendment has been adopted. Next, we're moving on from solar to talking about a couple of different amendments that are linked up with AFRAC nursery stock and Second Amendment. First, Representative Anderson to the A6 amendment on AFRAC.
Mr. Chair, thank you. What this amendment does is just put the original language back into the bill. AFRAC has been around for 10 years, and we had asked to extend the council for another 10 years. The bill currently limits that extension to 5 years. And some of the research that they do, especially regarding phosphorus takes a while to build up in the soil. And some of these research projects may take a longer time than 3, 4, 5 years to complete. So that's one of the reasons I would like to have the extension put back to the 10-year period. And the other part of that amendment, deleting sections 9 and 10. We're getting into the area here of allowing some of these projects to be done in the metropolitan area. And I would just, for the members here today, tell you the makeup of the AFRAC Council. There's 12 people on this council. They are the crop production retailers, independent crop consultants, Minnesota corn growers, Minnesota Farm Bureau, Minnesota Farmers Union, Minnesota Feed and Grain, Minnesota irrigators, Minnesota soybeans, Minnesota wheat, potato growers, and the sugar beet industry. That expertise is in the area of production agriculture. And to me, the AFRAC funding is by farmers, for farmers, 40 cents a ton on bulk fertilizer purchases. And I would like to see go back to the original language supported by the AFRAC board, the 10-year extension, and also deleting the provisions pertaining to some of these projects possibly being done in the metropolitan area, Mr. Chair. That would be my amendment.
Okay, Representative Anderson, to the A6 amendment, Chair Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate Representative Anderson going with the original language. I will just make a couple of comments. The five-year extension is consistent with some other extensions that we're doing. I know that in discussion with some other members of the committee, I understand that metropolitan applicators also will pay the fee, and so there is some benefit, I think, that maybe they could look at to do some research on what happens in the metropolitan area. So, and I know that it's something that will likely be a topic in conference, because I think the position is different in the Senate. So we'll be seeing what we'll have further discussion on this. But at this point, I would recommend a no vote.
Representative Tabke.
Thank you, Chair Brand. I just wanted to reiterate what the chair said, is that I used to own a landscape company and found out through this process that I had been paying into this fund by bulk fertilizer purchases that I was doing through an elevator in Jordan. We bought all of our fertilizer through bulk purchasing and had it bagged for us and everything that went along with that, and all of that money for and a large portion of the Metro and Regional Center landscape companies also do that same thing to get better pricing, obviously, on fertilizer purchases. And so a big chunk of we haven't found out exactly what that amount is at this time, but I'm looking into it. So I thank the chair for adding that line in there to recognize the fact that a lot of that a good portion of this amount is also coming from metropolitan areas and should be able to be at least able to be utilized. I tried to get her to change may to must, but so she was not on board with that, which I appreciate. But I just really like that is a piece of this bill, and it will be continuing at least to look at that as it moves forward, because this is something I think that most weren't aware about. So thank you, Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that comment. I would take issue saying a big chunk of the money coming into this fund comes from the metro area. We have literally millions of crop acres in Minnesota, corn, soybean, sugar beet, you name it, that pay in the vast majority of the revenue coming into this fund. And as I mentioned, the expertise so far on the AFRAG board, I would say, is mainly in conventional production agriculture. I appreciate hearing that some of the fertilizer down here is purchased bulk, because bagged fertilizer is not subject to this 40 cent per ton tax. So with that, I appreciate the comment, but I still stand by my amendment, and I would support the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion on the A6 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay. The motion is not carried.
Division, Mr. Chair.
Division? Okay. So on that standpoint, anybody who voted in favor of the bill, raise your hand and we'll count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6. All those opposed to that measure, A6 amendment, raise your hand. 2, 3, 9. So I count 6 ayes and 9 nays. Next, we have the A16 amendment talking about nursery stock. Representative Anderson, to your amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to withdraw that amendment.
Okay. Next is the A17 amendment, second harvest. To your amendment, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to speak on this again. This is my attempt. The amendment looks fairly complicated. We're juggling some numbers around here. But the bottom line here is that I would like to see more funding going to purchases of not only milk, but the protein for the food shelves around the state. So that basically is the amendment, Mr. Chair, that it would move some funds around to allow additional purchases of milk and other protein products by Second Harvest Heartland for food shelves in Minnesota.
To the A17 amendment discussion, Chair Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson for bringing forward this concept. I think it's important to, for the food shelves to provide protein and to be able to do those things. So I appreciate the concept. I would ask people to vote against it. However, I do think that some of the areas that are being taken, the money being taken from, are ones, the farm to school and childcare, the urban ag and the good food access, I think are areas that I've heard a number of people in support of, and so I'd like to be able to retain that language and those dollars in as they currently are.
Okay, thank you. Representative Wasilek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to echo Chair Poppy's concerns. I think that I agree with the intent, but I don't think that it means we take money away from these other programs that are doing a lot of good work to increase access to good food around the state, and also to these investments that we're making in urban agriculture and farm to school are really good ways to connect our youth around the state to education about local foods and access to local foods, and so I would oppose the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Lippert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also to echo the Chair's comments, I support food shelves and this effort, but not at the expense of farm-to-school, urban agriculture, these emerging areas of agriculture that I think we need to be finding ways as a committee to support, to because these emerging areas are places where new farmers are entering into farming, and these are models that are strengthening local communities, strengthening local economies. I think it's the sort of models of agriculture we need to support. So I speak against this amendment.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, I'll make one more attempt here. These programs we're talking about taking some funding from, I agree they're good programs. We talk about beginning farmers and such. But do we realize the rate of established farmers that we're losing in this state? 10% of our dairy farms are exiting annually in Minnesota. We've lost a couple hundred in the last year. This is serious. This is I'd call it a crisis in agriculture with our established farms. And this is not going to solve that problem by buying another supply of milk or protein for dairy farms, but I think it shows the intent of this committee and this legislature that we take the situation in agriculture seriously and do what we can to help those already on the land stay there. This is a time of the year that loans are approved for operating this spring, and there is difficult time out there for a lot of operators, farmers, trying to come up with money for the spring. And I think we need to do whatever we can to encourage dairy and agriculture in Minnesota. And again, this is my attempt to do that. And Mr. Chair, I would call for a roll call on this amendment.
Okay, a roll call has been requested. Any additional discussion on the amendment? Go ahead and call the roll.
Chair Poppy?
No.
Vice Chair Brand?
No.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Eklund?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Keel?
Yes.
Representative Clevarn?
No.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lewick?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Poston?
Yes.
Representative Tabke?
No.
Representative Vang?
No.
Representative Wasilek?
No.
Okay, looks like it's six A's and nine days. The days have it. Excuse me. To the A-12 amendment, Representative Anderson or Representative Lewick?
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving on. Which one was this again, Mr. Chair?
This is A-12.
Okay.
Kind of bridges the Article 1 and Article 2 of this bill.
Thank you. Again, we're getting into the CWD issue here, and some of the fencing requirements in the bill are expensive, and a lot of the deer farms that we've visited with, that the farmers we visited with, say it's going to be a challenge to come up with the again, the funding to comply with this fencing requirement. So what this amendment does, Mr. Chair, simply is make these folks eligible for livestock investment grant dollars to comply with the new fencing requirements in the bill as we see it.
Any discussion on the A-12 amendment, Chair Poppe?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. I think that they're already included in this, but to give it more comfort and to be able to have that, I think it's an okay amendment to put on the bill because we do want them to have access to the funds. So I would accept this amendment. Encourage a yes vote.
Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the A-12 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. A-12 amendment goes. Next, we have the A-19-0369 amendment, and that would be Representative Miller on a, looks like, chronic wasting disease discussion, wild and captive.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Poppe, for the record, I just can't understand why the Ag Committee in an ag state would do things detrimental to ag, but that's what I see this doing. So I'm trying to find an avenue by which we can make this, if we're going to move forward. Chronic waste disease is a very serious, very important thing, and I don't think anyone is disagreeing with that. I think where my disagreement comes in is the approach that we're taking, I think, is addressing half of the concern. And if you were to look at whether it be square miles or it be regions or it be however you do it, it's not even half of the problem. So, but if we're going to do this, I wish I had a better cliche, but what's good for the goose is good for the gander rather than what's good for the farmed is good for the wild, I guess. But what my amendment does is it recognizes that we have to do all these things. And so what I did was I inserted wild or free roaming where it was appropriate. So if we're going to be limiting or addressing issues related to CWD on farmed deer, I think it's only right that we also discuss the wild herds as well. Now, I do want to point out that this has a level of absurdity because we can't double fence in wild deer. I know that even if we needed to depopulate deer that are wild, how would we do that? But that points out the problems that we have that I stated before, and I'm going to say it again, is I understand how it is measurable with farmed deer and elk. I understand how we can write legislation because it's measurable and literally contained. But if we're going to address CWD in the state of Minnesota, at best, it's questionable as to whether it's coming from farmed deer. That's at best, but we really don't know. Okay? So I believe that if we are going to really address this with CWD, we need to address all of the deer populations. I think that if we found ways to do that, we would actually get the deer farmers that would agree to this, or at least some of the things. So this amendment, I know, doesn't actually work because we can't double fence wild deer, but I do think that I needed to make a point by stating that, and so, Mr. Chair, I'm going to withdraw that amendment.
Representative Miller, you have another amendment to this issue, A-19-0356.
I do, Mr. Chair. And Chair Poppe, I'm really, I know it's probably not even necessarily coming across as respectful, but I don't know how else to have a voice in this. And so I thought, well, what can we reasonably do? I think the points that I made with my previous amendment, the testimony that we had from the Deer and Elk Associations, I've received emails. I don't know who else of these members have received the emails. And there's amendment, I had email after email saying, well, maybe we could do this and maybe we could do that. And it was all things that really didn't fix the problem, but it was the best that they could come up with. Okay, we're talking about business owners in Minnesota that if this stuff gets passed through, it's going to be a very large cost to them. It's going to be detrimental to their business. And if we have like a moratorium, it's going to kill their business. So I think there's been enough questions, let alone pushback, on this issue that sometimes I think it's important for the legislature to step back, take a breath, and take a very serious look at this. I'm willing to engage in that conversation. I don't want CWD and having it be a problem in this state. I'm not saying that there isn't a problem that we have to address with farm survey, but I do know that we need to have the broader section. So what Amendment 0356 simply does is it takes the money that was going to go into monitoring farm deer or farm survey, okay, and it puts it into a very reasonable, very realistic, comprehensive study. The DNR and the Board of Animal Health can come back with to us and make very sound recommendations. By the way, when they do that research, I certainly hope that they bring in the Deer Hunters Association, the farmers, all these different people. Let's get them to a table. None of them want CWD in the state. I think we can find a way. But this is important to me, Mr. Chair and Chair Poppy, and so I'm going to be asking for a roll call on this, and I really hope that we can get support.
Okay, a roll call has been requested on this amendment. Discussion, Chair Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Miller. We do know that chronic wasting disease is an issue. It's an issue in many states, and it has been, we have found it in Minnesota. So getting involved in the CWD issue in this bill is because the Board of Animal Health is who oversees the Cervidae Farm. So it seems appropriate that we need to deal with that. I think it's something that we have to act on in some way. Having a study, I think we've already been in the process of studying. And many people have been engaged, the Board of Animal Health, DNR, Department of Ag. I know that the deer hunters have positions on this. Isaac Walton League has a position on this. I know the deer farmers have an industry that they're concerned about. And what I'm trying to do is thread the needle and trying to figure out how we can best approach it. I don't think that, as I've said before, CWD is the villain. It's not the deer farmers, and it's not the deer hunters. It's not other people that are coming forward saying it's what's happening in our state. Those deer are coming in from somewhere, and it could be their wild deer coming across the borders. They don't understand if they're in Iowa or Minnesota or Wisconsin. So I'm not sure exactly, and I know that there's been some studies and some research, and I know that we're going to continue to see studies and research happening, but just creating another amount for studying, I think, is the wrong approach. We do want the Board of Animal Health to be able to have oversight. They already have that oversight. We want to be able to give them the money to be able to continue that oversight. And I would recommend a no vote on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on the amendment, Representative Wazlewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, to Representative Miller's point, this is a deer issue. This is a cervidae issue, right? It's not a wild versus captive. I think we know that the spread of CWD is happening with both types of cervidae, whether they're wild or farmed. And I think we also have to acknowledge that this is a disease that stays in the environment. There's some research that shows that this goes in the soil, that it can actually be taken up into plants that animals are eating. So I think we have to be really clear about we need to tackle this issue before it becomes an even bigger issue. And we already have information on managing CWD from other sources that have done this research, pretty intensive research on this issue. So I don't think that we need to do that here. And to Chair Poppy's point, I think the Board of Animal Health is already looking into these things. So I would just say that I would oppose the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first of all, Chair Poppy, I do want to thank you very much. I know that in an earlier version this was going to be taken from the Board of Animal Health, which I appreciate the fact that you kept this within the Board of Animal Health, because I think they've proven themselves to be much more competent when it comes to diseases of animals, especially farmed animals in the state of Minnesota. So I do thank you for that. But Chair Poppy, really with the respect that I really do give you and to the other members that I give you full respect for as well, I'm hearing phrases like there has been some research and there has been discussion. And the difficulty that I have is we're about to move forward with pretty hard-hitting, very specific policy that's going to be based off of some discussion and some research. I don't think we're there yet. I have no problem with us getting there. I will help in getting us there. I'm just seeing things that are going to be very difficult to unravel. Some of the discussion we had from Board of Animal Health about testing while they're live, finding out better ways to understand the disease as it is in the environment and stuff like that. These are very important things. It's going to be difficult to unravel this. It's going to be really difficult. You know, one of the other concerns that I have, Mr. Chair, is here in my fifth year, so I'm starting to see some trends, okay? And one of the trends is what came with the original intent usually shows up first, and when that gets people worked up, we back it off to where it's an acceptable level, but then we always work towards that. And the original intent of these bills that were brought to this committee were to buy out and get rid of deer farming, and I believe elk farming too. I don't want to see us going in that direction. We need to help animal agriculture in the state of Minnesota. We've heard time and again in this committee where it's important for the small communities, like out in my district and probably just about everyone else's district on this committee. Animal agriculture stabilizes the economy. It creates jobs. It improves value of land. It does so many different things. So at a time where we're struggling with dairy and we're struggling with trying to find ways to have jobs in greater Minnesota, why would we want to go in a direction that is detrimental to expanding those opportunities? Having young farmers, by the way, one comment, and I promise I'll stop here. Sorry. The young farmers that talk to me, you know how they get into farming? Animals, because they can't get the land, so they buy animals. So if we start restricting the animals that they can get, which we may need to, by the way, with this, I just don't think that this is the time to do it. So I do ask for the support of people on my amendment. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Roll call has been requested.
Chair Poppe?
No.
Vice Chair Brand?
No.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Eklund?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Keel?
Yes.
Representative Cleborn?
No.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lewick?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Poston?
Yes.
Representative Tabke?
No.
Representative Vang?
No.
Representative Wasilewicz?
No.
That's 6 ayes and 9 nays. The motion is not carried.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a question?
Representative Anderson, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a question on the original language in the bill, page 14, line 8. It calls for $30,000 the first year and $350 the second year. Just clarifying, the 30 is the correct number. It's not a misprint. Why such a small number the first year and a larger number the second year? Maybe Chair Poppe could answer that as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The original request from the department or from the governor's bill was $208,000 the first year, $529,000 the second year. So I think they could perhaps somebody could come down to describe why they were doing less in the first year, and I'm assuming it's to kind of make sure that they have more money in the second year as things ramped up. But I'll ask somebody to come down to be able to provide further insight on that.
As Commissioner Peterson makes his way down, it looks like there's also some fee revenue that will contribute to that as well.
That's what we're doing with the fees. The fees will go into that. So we're balancing it out based on what their original request was with the fees.
Would somebody from the Department of Agriculture like to come down?
I think we don't have someone from the Board of Animal Health, but we have people from the Department of Ag. So I appreciate that the commissioner will come down.
Yes. Commissioner Peterson.
Mr. Chair, could you restate the question, Representative Anderson?
Representative Anderson, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and the commissioner, on page 14, line 8 of the bill, it calls for, this is under the Board of Animal Health, $30,000 the first year and $300,000 the second year. And my first thought was, is a 30 a misprint? But if you could explain why the much smaller number the first year and the larger number the second year to improve oversight of farm survey.
Maybe somebody from House Research.
I'm sorry, I didn't see we have.
Oh, Dr. Thompson.
Somebody else here who might be able to answer that. I'm sorry, but
Please state your name and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I wasn't clear on which line we were talking about either, but this is the Board of Animal Health 14.8, I believe. It's my understanding that there is fees in the servant account at this point in time, and that would roll forward into that initial year, and then after that we would need the additional funds. That's my understanding, but I don't have those numbers. I apologize, Representative Anderson.
Can you please identify yourself for the record, too, sir?
Sorry. Beth Thompson, State Veterinarian, Executive Director of the Board of Animal Health.
Okay, thank you. Representative Keel.
Thank you. Ms. Thompson, thank you for responding. But I'm just curious, and I'm not thinking probably very clearly, but if, let's say, there's a major problem with Cervidae, and then we start to have something in swine, or does that take out of that fund also? I mean, does that money all address all of those issues?
Mr. Chair, Representative Keel, members of the committee, that is the Farm Servant account. There are two dedicated accounts that the board has. One is Farm Servidae and one is Commercial Dog and Cat Breeders. So my understanding of the finances, no, we would not be able to use that, say, for responding to African swine fever. That would be general fund money.
Okay.
Mr. Savory, do you have some additional insight?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, the DE amendment as currently constructed does raise revenue for the farm servant account, and that revenue is $185,000 per year, and so that is potentially what could be offsetting some general fund issue, but I couldn't speak to the intent there. Okay.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and hate to beat this, but that's a pretty substantial sum of money, $185,000 a year. So then my question is, do they need that much in the second year? Are we going to try to even this thing out? And it just seems to me that it's kind of imbalanced. If that $185,000 would be available, that's an annual appropriation, correct, that $185,000? Or annual fees collected on the Cervidae farms?
He's getting his ruler out. One second. He's looking at it with his ruler. A lot of little numbers in this little spreadsheet. Colby, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, to your question, I believe the way it works is the general fund money in the second year is the difference between the fee revenue, the 185, and the full Board of Animal Health request for farm survey oversight. In 2021, same in the first year, the 185 plus the 30,000 approximately equals the board's full request for farm survey. So instead of it all coming from the general fund, the two sources of revenue combined to fund the request fully.
Any additional discussion before we move to the next amendment? We've got the A8 and the A22 amendment. Representative Look, go ahead and move your first amendment, A8. And discuss.
Mr. Chair, if I could, I would like to move on to the A22. They're very similar. They deal with the same thing, actually. And the it's a work in progress, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair. What the A22 would do rebroaden what's in the current DE amendment right now, which basically says you've got to tag an animal within 24 hours of birth. And I've raised beef cattle now for 25 years straight, and frankly, that's just not practical in every case. In some circumstances, that would be nice. If you're calving in spring and you got wolves around, you better tag them before they eat them, because all you have left is the tag, and I'm not kidding. What the A22 is, we heard testimony that, well, maybe we should move that date back when everything had to be tagged to October. So what the A22 does is basically says, look, when you wean the animals, which what happens there is you're going to separate the newborn, the baby animal, from its mother, and there's a lot of tension involved there, no matter when you do it, but you're clearly going to have to separate those animals. So that's an event for folks in livestock that has to happen. So there's an opportunity there, and in most cases you don't want to pen animals that are untagged over here and you lose the genetics as to who's who. If you can do it at birth, that's fine. The thing that I heard in testimony here was that, well, 31 December, actually it might work better if that was 31 October, earlier in the year. So what the 822 does is it talks about if you're going to wean them and separate them, tag them. If you're going to move them off premise for any reason, no question you have to have them tagged. And then it moves when they have to be tagged no matter what, that date from 31 October or 31 December, which it is right now. That's the current regulation, to 31 October. So this is really down in the weeds, folks. I'm not kidding you, because there's just a lot of circumstances. If you want to get down there and decide when you're going to tag animals, you ought to buy them and have to put up with that. So this is just, and I say, I've been working on this up until last night, and it's a product of testimony we've heard, emails I've got, phone calls I've got, discussions I've got, plus I'm trying to think this through as somebody that deals with exactly the same problem. So I would ask that this is about the fourth iteration of how we would do this. So I would ask that that we change the language with that with the 822 amendment, and it puts a hard date on when they got to be tagged. And there was a recommendation from different groups that it 31 October would be better. It also says if you're going to wean them, separate them, tag them, and they've still got the option to do them within 24 hours of birth, but I can tell you that's impractical in my world, because part of my herd I calve in the summer, and cows are just like deer. They will hide their babies and look at you, and it's easy to tell when a cow is calved, but it's a little tougher, I think, to tell with a deer just because of the body. But anyway, so this is just, frankly, folks, we shouldn't be down this far in the weeds on how people should be running their farms, but it tries to put them all together in something that I would hope would work for the elk farmers, the deer farmers. And the big thing is, if they're going off the place for any reason, they got to be tagged, no question about it. Got to be tagged by October 31, or if you're going to separate it. So this is kind of a potpourri of trying to mix everything together here and come up with something that I would hope that regardless of exactly how you run your operation, you can make it work. You know, if we're going to put that level of regulation in print, we've got to try to accommodate the various ways people would manage their livestock. So that, with that, Madam Chair, that's what I'm offering here with this language.
Discussion, Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at a report here from the North American Deer Farmers Association on fawn care guidelines by Dr. Cliff Shipley. And their recommendations from the association is to tag them within 8 to 18 hours. So I'm just curious if they've contacted you, or if you contacted them.
No, that individual did not contact me. We heard testimony that yes, some folks, that's the way they run their operation. I can tell you another thing, and this is I am going to speculate. But I will tell you that I have shipped an occasional mother cow to Long Prairie to be slaughtered, because for whatever reason I went there and tempered with that newborn within a few hours, and she refused to take the calf back. So then I had to raise it, bottle feed it, and I got, you can't have an animal around there, and you stop and think of what a conservation officer tells you when you see a newborn fawn somewhere. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. The reason is sometimes that mother will reject it. It's the same problem with moose. So I appreciate, everybody's got their own way of doing things, but I can tell you that if you don't have to tamper immediately within that first initial window with a domestic cow who we've spent 10,000 years trying to breed the wildness out of, I found that works better because there's less chance the cow is going to, one, injure you when you try to do that, and two, that you can set up a situation where she'll reject that calf. And I've seen it. I've had to dispose of otherwise good cows. Doesn't happen very often. Maybe once out of every 60 or 70 stock cows that I've had, I've ran into that problem. But it is real, and I think we ought to leave that kind of stuff to the operators. Nothing says that they can't follow that vet's recommendation. If that's the way you want to do it, more power to you. It's your problem if that animal rejects the young one and you're going to end up bottle feeding it. If you accept that risk, that's fine. You know, I mean, I've got a veterinarian that I consult with all the time, and his counsel is leave the mother and the infant alone at least for 24 hours. And the idea, I will tell you how it works in the, and again, these are four-legged animals. They're very closely related in the general group. We don't vaccinate calves at 24 or 48 hours because their immune system, you're worried about their immune system because of the milk that they receive, a portion of that milk sets up that immune system. I mean, you tell you, don't vaccinate. You're wasting your time, and you're actually going to disrupt something. So, that veterinarian has certainly got his own opinion, but I can tell you from the other four-legged livestock side of the world, you're wasting the vaccination. You're doing something that doesn't need to be done, and there's even a risk that you can disrupt the natural immune system. And say, I used to make my living doing that. I don't now. Had to get rid of a lot of cows. I just got a few, but you do have to understand a little bit of the science if you're going to raise livestock. So again, this adjusts the date back from December 31 to October 31, which we heard testimony that it seemed to be some consensus in the industry. It says if you're going to, as it always does, if you're going to move them off the place, you sure got to tag them. And it also says if you're going to separate them, and that's something new. If you're going to separate them, tag them. Now, I'll leave it at that, man. I would certainly like a roll call, Chair, because if we're going to start writing precise language on how somebody's got to, do their operation, then let's everybody own up to what they think should be done for an elk or deer farm.
Okay, roll call has been requested for the 822 amendment. Chair Poppy, to your...
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize. I took people down into this weeds initially. And on this issue in particular, I appreciate that Representative Lewick has really good livestock knowledge and understands, as a cattleman, he's well aware of how things work in the real world when it comes to dealing with four-legged animals, and so I appreciate that. The reason why I made the change was because of the National Deer Farmers Association and reading their recommendations about how to do some things, and I thought, well, maybe if that's how they do it, and then I visited the deer farm in my district, and that's how he does it, and I thought, maybe that's more common practice than not. I am fully aware that the bill that we have before us today is not the bill we're going to see when we come out of conference. And I think that what we need to be thinking about is just trying to move forward, and maybe some of these parts of this part of the bill won't even exist in a future version of a bill because it maybe doesn't matter so much. But I think right now I'd like to see us just remain with the standard as I saw it from the National Deer Farmers. I think that you have raised some very good points, and I think in thinking about the deer farmers and the elk farmers and everyone who's connected to it, I think we have to figure out what that answer is, if there is a different answer than what currently exists. But today I'm not sure that I'm ready to say that we're because I'm not sure if this is the right time and language either. So, again, my own apologies for kind of opening up the door that I'm not able to close. And I appreciate that Representative Lewick has, you know, has knowledge and understanding far beyond mine. So, you know, I think moving forward, I encourage everyone to engage in the process so we come up with a version that works for everyone. But at this point, I would say I would just recommend a no vote.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would Mr. Sullivan read the lines involved here to make sure it makes sense, page 35, line 22? Could you read what the amendment would do in the bill, please?
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair and members, with the A22 amendment, the language beginning on 35.21 would read, newborn animals must be identified before October 31st of the year in which the animal is born, at the time of weaning, or before movement from the premises, whichever occurs first.
Representative Anderson.
Yeah, now that makes sense, the way it was read. And I would just add quickly, too, if we're going to put a tag on a baby fawn that's visible from 50 yards away, I think that's very problematic.
Any further discussion on the 822 amendment? Yes, sure. Oh, Representative Cleveland. Sorry, she's on the list.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say to Representative Lewick, I really do appreciate hearing your comments. It was something that I hadn't thought about, that possibly a mother would reject. But in looking also at the Farm Survey program numbers by the Board of Animal Health, it would look to me that with the size of the average herd being so small, that it wouldn't be a large hardship if it was to reject only one of the offspring. But I would like to have a further discussion with you about that. And so at this time, I'm going to vote against this amendment, but I would like to talk in further detail with you about that at a later time. And I just wanted that on the record, that I thought the point was well raised.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Representative Lewick, go ahead.
I would urge support for this and to that particular comment. Okay. You know, it would be easy to look at this as a bottom line thing, but if you got pets, which one would you like to sacrifice because you did something that very clearly could cause you to have to get rid of it? So, I mean, it's easy to go, well, we got a small number, so what if you lose one of your herd mothers? That's what we're talking about here, and it doesn't matter whether it's a small number or a large number. There's also a emotional attachment with that, which you try to keep out of when you raise livestock. But the idea that just one is no big deal, or could be no big deal, that's what I say. I want a roll call vote so that we understand where people are on this issue, because there's no question that there is an extremely sensitive time with animals within that. Sometimes it's only 24 hours, but sometimes it's even days. And once you mess that up, they will not take that baby back.
A point of clarification, please.
Yeah, we'll soon find out where people stand. Representative Cleveland, short.
I just want to clarify my point. I'm not saying that it's not a hardship. I do understand that it is a hardship, and that's why I appreciated the comments and hearing them. What I'm saying is, in the thought of disease containment, that's where I'm coming from, disease containment, I totally appreciate the fact that it's a hardship, and I totally appreciate that it could be an ongoing problem. So that's why I'd like to have the further conversation later. So just clarification there. Okay.
Roll call, please.
Chair Poppe?
No.
Vice Chair Brand?
No.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Eklund?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Keel?
Yes.
Representative Cleburne?
No.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lewick?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Poston?
Yes.
Representative Tabke?
No.
Representative Vang?
No.
Representative Wasilewick?
No.
6 ayes and 9 nays. The nays have it. The amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A9 amendment on chronic waste and disease zones. And either Representative Hamilton or Representative Lewitt would like to move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move the A9 amendment. And what this amendment does is that it would allow the Commissioners of Agriculture, in consultation with the Board of Animal Health, to establish chronic waste and disease control zones around the state. And we have a precedent set here in the state when we're dealing with other livestock diseases as well, or poultry and livestock diseases. So instead of shutting down the entire state, the Board of Animal Health and the Commissioner of Agriculture can do what they do best and let them determine how to control the various zones and the movement within. And I ask for your support.
Any discussion? Chair Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hamilton, I think that this is a potential. I'm just not ready at this point to accept this language. I think you know, the next few amendments that we're going to have coming forward, I have to say I appreciate that it's a very thoughtful and solutions-oriented kind of helpful amendments that are coming forward. I think that that's important. I really do appreciate, because I think we're all in this together, that we're trying to figure out what are the right answers. So I don't deny that some of these are really good suggestions and maybe something that we will be considering in the next few weeks as the bill moves forward. And I just, at this point, I'm not ready to say vote yes on this one. I'll be voting no. I guess I'd like to see us just move on.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Chair Poppy, for that as well. You know, we say a lot around here that we should take the emotion out of the equation, and we should be relying on science, and that's what this amendment does. And it puts back in charge of this, if you will, the individuals who are professionals in the area of disease and disease transmission and disease control and eradication, and that's the Board of Animal Health and Department of Agriculture and the entities that they work with. So once again, I ask for your support.
Further discussion on the A9 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay. Nay.
Okay, the motion is not adopted. Next is the 810 amendment. Representative Lewick, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair. And what the amendment does would simply provide a time frame to make those adjustments to the fencing on the Cervidae farms. That would provide basically a full 24 or a 12-month construction period, because by the time this goes into law, we're already into spring, summer, and so it's just not instantaneous. You can go up and make, major adjustments. If other parts of this bill go into law, then we've got inspections that are going to take place, and it's going to be extremely difficult in some cases to have completed this. So I just simply it's kind of standard in this world where we would acknowledge that we can make a decision down here, but it can't happen instantaneously. So I just ask that that's a reasonable time to get it in place and do it right. So I would ask that if we could just add that extension date, or that put a hard date on when it's got to be in place.
Discussion. Representative
Poppy. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I think it's another thoughtful and helpful approach, and I think it's one for future discussion. At this point, I'm not willing to accept it at this point, but I again appreciate that people are coming forward with ideas that I think can move this to a place where we'll have a good acceptance in a bill. But at this point, I'd say vote no.
Further discussion? All those in favor of the 810 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The nays have it. Next is the A11 amendment. Representative Anderson or Representative Lewis? Would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I will move the A11, and that deals with the so-called moratorium that this places in effect on Sturba Day Farms. And what it does on page 37, line 19, it just omits that last line and a half that puts a qualifier on a family member transferring his farm to another family member. Delete the words, if the person has no history of violations under this section, and the herd is free from CWD. Violation as simple as having a fence violation, whatever, would disqualify somebody from passing their farm down to their son. I just think that is such an important part of a farmer passing his operation down to a family member. I would strongly hope that this qualifier can be taken out of the language and those two lines omitted from the language, Mr. Chair.
Okay, discussion on the A11 amendment, Chair Poppe.
That's another one that I think I just need to say that request to vote no. I think, again, I acknowledge that the moratorium is an issue that I think many people are on both sides of this issue, and I would just like to see the language remain as is.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No. Nay.
The nays have it. Representative Anderson and Representative Lewick, the 813 amendment. Would you like to? Representative Lewick, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, I would like to move the A13 for inclusion. And what this basically would do, it just removes that moratorium. I think at this point, we're trying to shut the door when there's no need to shut the door. I'll give an example of, let's suppose somebody said, well, let's go over here and start a new deer farm. We're going to start it with deer from a clean farm. We're going to do research here. Do we really want to have a three-year moratorium on doing something like that? That doesn't make sense. I think that the market takes care of whether or not, last time I looked, there aren't a whole lot of people rushing to establish deer and elk farms right now. But you know, by putting this three-year moratorium on starting a new whitetail, and I believe it's served it anyway, any farm, we shut the door of even starting somebody that's interested in working with the Board of Animal Health and University of Minnesota, maybe outside universities and the industry, on doing research, because we can't get a license to even establish the place. So I just think that's one reason. The other part of this is it basically beats over the head an industry right now that is already being pummeled, and I think it's just an overreach from that perspective. Even the ability to expand if you're doing everything right, and for some reason you need to establish another licensed farm and you haven't had one issue in 30 years, you put all that on hold. Now I say the market take care of there's just not a whole lot of people standing in line to expand or jump into this industry, but this shuts the door on everything, even a research farm. I would assume you'd have to have a license by our regulations if you were going to establish a farm, do research to try to solve this problem. So I would ask that we simply just remove that entire section, Mr. Chair.
I would like a roll call vote also.
Roll call has been requested on the 813 amendment discussion. Chair Poppe.
Thank you. Again, knowledgeable, helpful, and insightful. Representative Lewick, people are raising really good points and trying to help us craft something that I think is workable. I know that I appreciate the suggestions and the thoughts coming forward. I'm going to recommend a no vote on this.
Additional discussion. Call the roll.
Chair Poppe.
No.
Vice Chair Brand?
No.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Eklund?
No.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Keel?
Yes.
Representative Cleburne?
No.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lewick?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Yes.
Representative Poston?
Yes.
Representative Tabke? Representative Bang?
No.
Representative Wasilewicz?
No.
6 ayes and 8 nays. The motion does not prevail. Next, we have the A14 amendment. Representative Hamilton or Representative Lewick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move the A14 amendment. And what this does is if or when a live test is developed, that if a farm tests positive or has one single positive on the farm, instead of mandating them to euthanize every single animal on there, that they could test every animal on that farm, and the ones that test negative CWD, they would not have to be euthanized. So I ask for your support.
Discussion on the 14th Amendment. Chair Poppe.
Thank you again, Representative Hamilton. Another constructive suggestion. Appreciate that. I'm going to ask for a no vote at this point. I think that, you know, good comments are being raised, and I appreciate the conversation, but I say vote no.
Okay. All those in favor?
Mr. Chairman.
Additional discussion, Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, these farmers are fighting for their lives, and we're looking to not only take CWD seriously, and both in the wild and in farm surveyed herds, we're also wanting to work with the survey farmers here and find workable solutions so that we don't destroy them. And unfortunately, what the language is doing, it's doing that. And so whether we're, you know, what we're trying to do on this side is seek some very reasonable and workable solutions around this through science, through working with the Board of Animal Health, the University of Minnesota, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and others, to create sound solutions based on science so that we can not only address the CWD issue, but also to help these farmers that are fighting for their lives. And so, again, this is what we're trying to do here. It doesn't say that, you know, the entire herd cannot be euthanized. What it's saying is when that live test is available to us, that if those animals are testing positive, that they do not have to be euthanized. And it will be working very closely, again, with the Board of Animal Health and others to control that. And the restriction on movements and other things would still be in place. What we're simply saying is, you know, let's not totally devastate these farmers. And, again, I think this is a reasonable approach, and I ask for your support.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is maybe the most important amendment we're discussing here today. We've dropped an indemnity program relying on the feds, and the feds' funding source is questionable at best. I think the timing here is not appropriate for this, in that we've been told that the USDA has a test that is within months of being released. It's being used now in Texas with great effectiveness. So for us to enact a total herd depopulation on a one animal testing positive weeks or months before a live animal test is available from USDA, I think is short-sighted. And again, what Chair Hamilton said, we are playing with people's livelihoods here, their lives and livelihoods. And to not adopt this amendment, I think would be a mistake by this committee.
Representative Boston. No? Okay. Any further discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton requests a roll call. Representative Luke, briefly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just add to what Representative Anderson indicated. I mean, if we're going to walk the walk on science and basically not accept that other people in other parts of the country right now are using a test. Everybody admits it's not the best, easiest thing to do. What does this say about us as an agriculture committee if we're going to simply go, we're not that smart here, me included, first on the list. We're not that smart that I can't understand why we would not at least put in there that in the future, very, very likely, it'll be likely be approved at the USDA level, and then that's a tool that the Board of Animal Health would be able to use. It would be a tool that our industry would be able to use. But again, if we're going to walk the walk on science, folks, let's do that, and let's not just blindly go, we're going to euthanize, even if there's a way to start to work on a way to deal with this. The other thing is, and it was discussed, Ellen, maybe if you don't breed animals for production, it may not register. But there's also a whole other effort going on from the genetic side, trying to find particular strains of animals that may be more resistant to this. So again, you just kill them all, and you just snuffed out that entire line of animals. And so, if there is anything in there that may be highly resistant, you've lost those genetics. So again, this is just looking to the future. If we can't look to the future on behalf of this industry, my goodness, where are we at as an ag committee?
Further discussion. Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the conversation. I do appreciate the concern. I, too, have deer farmers in my district. But I think we got to look at a bigger picture here. First off, if we get the live test and it's proven that it works, I'd be all in for doing that when it's done and when it's ready. It's not. It's not ready yet. I've seen the papers from what's going on in Texas. I understand that. But I think we got a bigger industry that we got to watch out for, and the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association is in favor of the provisions that we put in this bill, because the deer hunters are deer hunting in Minnesota. The wild deer are just as big or bigger industry than what we're talking about here, and I think we got to take that into consideration too. So I'm going to oppose this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for those comments. And I understand that and the importance to address this both on farms and in the wild. And I think we're going to be missing a big opportunity. Every single one of us will say that there's a lot that we do not know about CWD. And here, if you have one animal testing positive in an enclosed area, we're going to wipe out all the other animals in that area. If we have a live or when a live test is developed, we could go in there with permission of and with the assistance, of U of M and others, and we can start doing soil tests. We could do tests on other animals to see how the disease is transmitted and to see how long it stays in the soils, et cetera, when you have animals on that. It would be the perfect opportunity to do additional research, once again, utilizing all the entities, including the farmer, including the producer, to be a part of this to where we can get answers. But right now, the only scenario we have, or the only thing that we're saying, is we're going to eliminate everything. And so then, by doing that, we will lose all the ability to gain additional knowledge on this disease and the transmission of. So I think this is a critical amendment. And once again, I strongly ask for everybody's support.
Representative Hitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, being here for a while, I've been here during the bovine TB and during the turkey, and we never had this discussion about, hey, let's wait. Let's study the turkeys to see where the resistance is. Let's use the cattle for experiment. We didn't do that.
Because we knew more.
We didn't do that. We made that decision as a precautionary measure. We're in a crisis, folks. We're in a crisis here with this disease.
Any further discussion? Representative Lewin, real briefly, please.
Very briefly, I will just respectfully disagree with the comments of Representative Hansen relative to TV. Yes, you were here. Some of us were out there on the farms dealing with it. And so, please, that was a lot more complicated. And to use that as down here in St. Paul, I was down here in St. Paul a lot, but I wasn't talking to the legislature. I was talking to the Board of Animal Health and the Department of Agriculture, and so I really disappointed. That's it's a clear view from down here in the legislature, but it didn't look like that if you were involved in the industry. And you had livestock that were associated in the northwest part of the state. And so, we acted swiftly. We also followed the science.
Roll call, please.
Chair Poppe.
No.
Vice Chair Brand.
No.
Representative Hamilton.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Eklund.
No.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Keel.
Yes.
Representative Cleburne. Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lewick.
Yes.
Representative Miller.
Yes.
Representative Poston.
Yes.
Representative Tabke.
No.
Representative Bang.
No.
Representative Waslick.
No.
6 ayes and 8 nays. The motion does not prevail. The 815 amendment is before us. It's the last amendment on my list. It deals with research exemption. Representative Hamilton or Representative Lewick, would you like to move that amendment?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair. Again, this is on the theme of let's follow the science. What this would do would allow the owner to develop an agreement with the Board of Animal Health, University of Minnesota, and work through a study situation as an alternative to euthanize an entire herd. And it goes back again, I've had tremendous amount of discussions with my friends in the Deer Hunters Association. I'm a member of the Deer Hunters Association. And here's the question I ask. Tomorrow we're going to wave a magic wand. All the elk farms and all the deer farms are gone in the state of Minnesota. They're gone. They don't exist. So what do you got left? You got left wild deer that we know there's some level of chronic wasting disease that's associated with that. And if you look beyond our state boundaries, it isn't just an incidental association. So, again, this is an effort to follow the science. I mean, this says, look, we got a situation where we got a positive deer on a deer farm with the right type of agreements with Department of Agriculture, Board of Animal Health, and University of Minnesota. Instead of killing everything there, let's go through a very measured study process here and try to add something to the science as opposed to just kill it. And so again, I'm going to say more other than this is just another attempt to walk the walk on following the science here.
Discussion on the 815 amendment. Chair Poppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ask people to vote no. Think it's good discussion again. Appreciate the comments, and it's good to have everything on the record. I think we're making sure that people understand this is not an easy issue. And we do need to deal with CWD, and everybody who's sitting around the table needs to think about that, and everybody who's sitting in the room needs to be thinking about it, too, because we need to get to a solution here.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would respectfully request a roll call vote on this item.
Roll call has been requested for the 815 amendment. Additional discussion. Call the roll.
Chair Poppe?
No.
Vice Chair Brand.
No.
Representative Hamilton.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Eklund.
No.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Keel.
Yes.
Representative Cleburne. Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lewick.
Yes.
Representative Miller.
Yes.
Representative Poston. Representative Tabke.
No.
Representative Vang.
No.
Representative Wasilewicz.
No.
Okay, 5 ayes and 8 nays. The nays have it. Okay, so that covers all of the amendments, I believe, that we have for today on the D. What's that? Anderson? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I respectfully ask Representative Hansen a question. In this committee, we've concentrated Board of Animal Health and the Cervidae Farms. In your committee, you have purview, I would assume, over the wild deer herd. What is being done to look at the situation in the wild deer herd? And, you know, this committee has looked solely at the Cervidae herd. What's being done with the wild herd in regard to CWD?
Representative Hansen, your name was iterated in that comment, so go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Anderson. There is a governor's appropriation of $4.4 million of general fund that is to go to CWD response. We have added material that will be voted on in about an hour that provides 500K each year for research to the University of Minnesota for the CWD consortium. We're going to be adding a requirement, an amendment to that, that will require quarterly reports. We figured that just like with MNLARS having quarterly reports, that we should have quarterly reports come back and to the appropriate committees on progress, both from the university and from the agencies. We had an Adopt the Dumpster program that was in Wisconsin on trying to deal with waste management, and we're directing the agencies to work together, both the Pollution Control Agency and the Department of Natural Resources, to work on how do we deal with the carcass management, regardless of where the carcass comes from, how do we deal with that. So I can get you the language and you get that to the committee on what will be considered this afternoon, but there's general fund dollars in there and money for research.
Okay, seeing no further amendments in the DE4 amendment, we'll next vote on the DE4 amendment as amended. This is not the final vote on the bill. That will be coming up next. All those in favor of the DE4 amendment as amended, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
The ayes have it. Chair Poppy, to House File 2200 as amended. Any further discussion?
I think I'm very thankful that we're here today. We've had a number of committee meetings, and we've had very thoughtful and interesting discussion along the way. We heard 63 bills this session. 46 of those were finance-related. People wanted to spend money in agriculture and in food, and over $150 million for the biennium was what we were looking at for the number of requests that we had. This bill does address 32 of those requests in some way, some fashion. I know that it's a more challenging, perhaps, because as agriculture evolves, as our legislature evolves, as our state evolves, we all are looking at needing to look at things with maybe three different lenses, and that's an important thing. And as I asked at the very beginning of our time together and appreciated throughout this entire time that we've had respectful discussion, I think we've perhaps learned some things from each other. We've maybe seen things in a different way because we've heard from somebody else's perspective, and as we bring forward this bill, I know that we're trying to deal with traditional agriculture and new agriculture. We're dealing with conventional ways of doing things and the emerging issues that impact how we deal with things. I know we've had a lot of discussion in a lot of areas, but I do appreciate that we have put together what I think is a good bill. Is it the best bill? Perhaps not, but I think it's a good bill. And I think that for everyone around the table, I appreciate that you are going to consider what is in this bill and know that the good things that are in this bill are the reason to vote for it. So I'd appreciate your support.
Any further discussion on House File 2200? Yeah. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. We have the room till noon, right?
Yeah, we do.
No, I want to thank Chair Poppe for... Again, we talked about being respectful. Your door has always been open. We've been able to discuss things, and I really want to say thank you for that. This has been a challenging bill. A lot of things, as you say, have evolved in agriculture and kind of changed the way the focus is somewhat in agriculture. I still think that the production ag in this state is such a huge economic driver of Minnesota's economy. I wish we could have done more for, I'll call it traditional agriculture. Some of our sectors are hurting badly. And a lot of the funding things, of course, come out of Washington federal. But if we could help dairy farmers, for example, with the insurance premiums on the margin protection plan or whatever, to just get some cash out there, help those farmers pay some of their bills. The CWD, I think, is a work in progress, and I think we heard from the chair that at this point she didn't take any of our amendments, but I'm sure she's willing to continue working, and as new developments come along the line, I think we can take a look at those as well and to try to work together to kind of soften the blow on the Cervidae deer farms in Minnesota. Some good things in the bill, and again, your spending target was not as large as some of us had hoped it would be, and again, that curtailed some of the good things I think we could have done in this committee. But overall, I want to say thanks to all the members. The new freshmen on the other side, welcome to the world of agriculture. It is a changing, evolving world, and we need to work together, get the word out, and do what's best for Minnesota, and I think for agriculture in this state.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Anybody else wish to speak? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Poppe, I do appreciate the work that you've done on this, and I do think that you fully support agriculture in all aspects, and I do respect you for that. And as chair of a committee like this, I know heavy is the head that wears the crown, and you have lots of input of people that want things, and you've respectfully listen to those. You've accepted those, even some of the more challenging things, like from people like me. You've given me respect and the time to be able to speak these things, and I do appreciate that. I'm hoping for a conference committee report, because I know that ag is one of those committees that we kind of universally, I think, Representative Hamilton managed to have a unanimous vote, which is not necessarily the important thing, although I think he probably still gloats over that from time to time, right? But I'm in an ag district, and I want to be in a committee that I can be very proud of what we did. There are some good things in this, but there are some things that I guess I'd best say hope I don't see on the final vote when we come back from conference committee. So I do respect what you're doing here, and I hope that we can move forward in this. Thank you.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Poppe, I want to thank you. And I know this is no easy job. This is a work in progress, with the exception of things that are dealing with the chronic wasting issue. It looks like a good bill. And with regret, it's got nothing to do with your chairmanship has been absolutely superb, but I can't support the bill as it goes forward, because I really think that, again, we're at this point, we're just taking a sledgehammer to a small part of industry that is got big issues, they're all hoping, everybody's hoping, but I've only been here 5 years, but hoping that the conference committee is going to fix all the little things. that's a big hope, Chair Poppy. But again, I just want to thank you for your hard work. And again, I with regret, I'm not going to be able to support the bill, but work with you every day on anything that we can do to fix those things, especially whatever happens in conference committee.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Chair Poppy, thank you for your leadership on this. And you have constantly proven to us that you're a person of your word, and you're wanting to work with everybody, all sides of this issue, and I thank you for that. As we move forward, I'd like to just remind everybody that the farmers are not the villains in all this. You know, they are affected by this in a very negative way also, and so they're looking for answers just like the rest of us. And, you know, as you can tell, I'm very strong or passionate about the testing that I believe will be coming forward here pretty soon, and creating the zones and stuff like that to not only protect the Cervidae farmers, but also to protect the hunters and deer in the wild as well. You know, some other things just to consider, Madam Chair, would be the Turf Seed Council, you know, continue to find funding on that. And I'm very concerned, like I said early on, about the legislature mandating or dictating what the Center for Rural Policy and Development should be doing. I don't think we should be the ones meddling in that. It should be the people that they reach out to that are giving them the ideas on what is important out there, and then they bring forth the research to us. Wonderful people in that organization. I know all of them. And, again, we should not be mandating what they do. And then the other thing, too, Madam Chair, would be the length of time on the AFRAC. And I really appreciated your comments about buying in bulk for nursery and landscaping. In my opinion, that is agriculture as well, no question about it. So I really appreciated those comments. With that said, I do think we should be extending that out to 10 years once again, because I think Representative Anderson laid it out very well when he's talking about the research around phosphorus and other things. So, again, just take those things into consideration, if you would, please. And, again, thank you for your leadership.
Representative Tapke? Nope. Okay. Anybody else? There's a few things I'd like to say. Specifically, I'd like to say thank you to Chair Poppy for working very well with everybody here on the committee to create a good bill. I mean, this has some really good things. There is extra money in there for international and domestic trade. Hemp is now an industry that we can say that we put something on this year in Minnesota. There is additional money for food at all levels, which is part of our policy's name, or part of our committee's name, was the food policy as well, food finance. And I think the last thing is just in general food safety. So having those conversations in the committee have been really important, I think, to the folks in Minnesota. The last thing I'd say is that I've got a 4-year-old at home, so I really appreciate that he's watching this live and we all kept our language clean. And with that, I'll turn it over to Chair Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a couple of things. You know, 2 years ago, Representative Hamilton did get a unanimous vote on the floor, and that came about because of the support of our caucus as well. And I know that we have worked collaboratively over the course of the last number of years, and I've been pleased to be able to do that. I know that that might be a tall order this time to expect, but I think that it's important that we continue to have those conversations. So I do appreciate it. I set aside many of the amendments to be able to have further discussion on, because I think it's important, and I think the issues that have been raised today are ones that it was good to get on the record, the conversation, and hopefully we can see some things moving forward along those lines. You know, we could have avoided the CWD topic altogether, but I think it was difficult to do that because it's you know, these are Cervidae farms, and it is under the Board of Animal Health, and I think when we made collectively, I would say the decision that the Board of Animal Health should continue to have that oversight, we needed to delve into that. So I appreciate that people allowed us to do that, and we were able to do that. You know, we are funding some rural mental health in this bill. We are providing some money for milk, for urban agriculture, for farm to food shelf, farm to school, for good food access. So a lot of food things. But we're also supplying money for meat inspectors and people that are important to the agricultural world, and doing trade and marketing and along those lines as well. So I think we have a number of, again, very good provisions in this bill, and I think I am proud to be able to carry this bill forward. This isn't going to be the bill coming back from conference, but I think it's a really good bill to take into conference. So I appreciate that we've had our time together. I just want to say, too, thanks again to the staff. We've got a wonderful staff, everyone from our pages all the way through. We've been a good team, and I think as a committee we've also had good, respectful dialogue, and I appreciate that. So, I would ask for support, and as we move House File 2200 as amended, that it be referred to the Ways and Means Committee, and that staff be directed to make any technical corrections as necessary.
The motion is before us. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it. House File 2200 is amended on its way to Ways and Means. Thank you very much. And Chair Poppy, did you have anything else?
I think, you know, we will, this will be our last meeting probably.
Okay.
For the time now, but I think we'll, you know, we're going to try and see what we can do in the interim as well, but we'll continue to have conversations. So, thank you.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned.